Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong, and you can find me on Twitter at @e_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Hague. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And, well, we're the best. And, I kind of thought, coming off Olympic closing ceremony, we might have some American music, maybe some Hulk Hogan walkout music. I don't know who sings that, but we go with 50 Tyson, and we have a one-year anniversary. Is that not who that is?
I don't know. I don't know. I couldn't really find anything else. So I figured, yeah, why not? I mean, we've been doing this for a while now. No need to make apologies.
Yeah, no, definitely not. As you were saying, Tuesday was our one-year anniversary. Time Hop kindly reminded me of that, so we were able to give you our one-year anniversary week show today, and we wanted to let you know that we're the best.
Yeah, no, it's been a crazy, crazy year. We've covered all sorts of stuff, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. We've had times that we've had really great shows, fit in everything perfectly. We've had shows that have ended abruptly on us, but definitely gotten better over the year, and look to continue it and keep going for another year.
Yeah, gotta get those numbers up.
Yeah, definitely got to get some more viewers. So
always got to be expanding.
That's all you listeners out there.
We'll keep trying to get better, I guess.
Yeah. Next step, YouTube.
Oh yeah, we're gonna do live. That's the next step. We got to do live like Skype shows.
Yeah, exactly. So people can put faces with our voices, but kind of got a voice for or a face for radio. So
yeah, I don't know if we're ready for that. we don't want to scare anybody off before we have a real fan base. So
this is true. So, but I guess we should maybe talk about some sports here.
Right.
Now we have quite a bit to talk about. We had our picks from last week, of course, and then we're going to kind of talk about the Olympics. They're over. They ended on Sunday. Got quite a bit to talk about there. We can talk some UFC 202, maybe a little NFL news, and that'll be our tonight's show for you.
Yeah. Kind of got a lot of places we can go, so let's kind of kick it off. Let's get it going.
All right. Well, let's start off with our picks from last week. We'll start here with the Olympics. Our first pick was, will Usain Bolt win the 200 meter on last Thursday? He did. We both said he would, and he did it. It was really no competition like most of his races are. He just pulled away at the very end. He's just too big, too strong, too powerful, and, of course, too fast. And, that's nine gold medals in nine events for Usain Bolt in his Olympic career. So he'll leave Rio and leave the Olympics as probably the most decorated sprint and track and field guy ever to compete in the Olympics. There's been a lot of great guys, but most of those guys have been linked to doping. Usain Bolt is one of the few guys that have ever been linked to that. So, I think he deserves a lot of credit, and it's just magnificent to be able to see these great Olympic athletes that we've been able to see over the past decade or so.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, like you said, 9 events, 9 golds in the last 3 Olympics for him, and he's thoroughly dominated as he's done it. It's just been incredible. And not only that, he seems to be having a lot of fun doing it, and his personality just makes it that much more better and that more much more electric and exciting. So it's definitely provided us with a lot of great moments again, with especially the picture, of course, with him turning to look back, just captured the moment and the just kind of his essence of what he's done just perfectly about how he's it's just been so easy for him and just crazy. But really, really impressive. Probably not going to see anything like it, or at least you don't expect to anytime soon. So definitely another great performance.
Yeah, I think Usain Bolt, you said it best. I think he's a once-in-a-lifetime kind of athlete. So I don't think us necessarily will see another guy like that. And it's been a lot of fun to watch. And the best part is he's never been linked to doping. A lot of these runners have been. It kind of goes with cycling. A lot of those guys, they all do it. So, or I guess most of them do it. So they all end up doing it. And it deserves a lot of credit. And I'm going to be sad to see him go.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, when you have that uncertainty, especially in, in other sports, you see it a lot, swimming, like you're talking about, cycling. It's nice to see that, you can still assume that everything's good there and there's nothing wrong with what's going on. But, definitely sad to see him go because it would seem that by the time Tokyo rolls around, it would probably be. I mean, it would be sad to see him try and go out again and then of course lose. It'd kind of take off the kind of going out on top, but so I wouldn't be too heartbroken if he didn't try one more go.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes athletes. They go longer than what they should. So the last remembrance we have of them isn't their greatness. Happens all the time. I mean, Peyton Manning's kind of a bad example now because he did win the Super Bowl. But if he hadn't won that Super Bowl, it'd be pretty tough to not say that his career wasn't that great just because of the performance he had this last season and bunch
right.
of other guys like Kobe Bryant, same way, Michael Jordan with the Wizards. I know a lot of people our age and younger remember his Washington Wizards days, and that wasn't peak Michael Jordan. So I wouldn't be sad if he hung them up. So
sometimes
I was just gonna say sometimes the best thing to do is not knowing. So
it seems like he kind of understands that, like he's been kind of spinning this narrative of I want to be a god, kind of like a and kind of this transcendent figure. So if he comes back to Tokyo and gets bronze, like that's that's gonna kind of put a little damper on that. So he might understand that it's best to just hang him up.
Yeah, and if he does, hats off to him, because a lot of athletes don't have that will or that ability to do that. And, he has his endorsements. People know his face, so I think he has a bright bright future ahead of him. I think we could see him in the next Olympics. Maybe we do see him there, but maybe he's commentating or doing something else. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. There's plenty of other things that he can do now that he's he's going to start moving away from running.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we can move on.
Yeah, let's do it. USA basketball.
Yeah.
We were a little worried. Yeah. We were. They had a couple close games. We talked about a little bit. I think they were sleepwalking. They kind of got a wake-up call there in a couple games, and from there on out, there really wasn't a close game beyond that. Spain was pretty close, but it never really felt like they were going to lose that game. Team USA proves their dominance once again in basketball. I think that's now they've won 15 golds in 18 events all time, so it's pretty good. And we picked their game against on Wednesday. I believe they played Australia. We did margin of victory, and I did a margin here of if we were within 10 points. I picked USA by 18. You had them by 15. They ended up winning by 27. So I just barely got that cut off, and you just barely missed it.
I figured that they'd...
Or was it France?
Argentina.
How about neither one of them?
Yeah. but no. Like you said, other than Spain, it was a pretty easy road. Kevin Durant started playing really well. They just finally started looking like the best basketball players that the Olympics had to offer, which I guess kind of brings me to what I'm saying is that, yeah, obviously they seem to have a little rough time there before the game started to really matter, I guess. But, I saw a tweet from Nick Wright that basically asked this question. If the USA team played, the team that won the gold played LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, Blake Griffin, and Damian Lillard, who wins that game?
Are we having a series here? Is it one game? What are we doing?
I don't know. What do you say? Why not both? One game and a 7-game series.
I think the team that wasn't in the Olympics would have a better chance of winning one game. I think the team that was in the Olympics would win the series.
Oh, did I leave out? I left out Steph. Steph was supposed to be in there too.
Yeah, but, yeah. I kind of figured he
right.
was going with some of the top players that weren't competing.
Right. Basically,
the guys
that didn't go that could have gone. Plus, you know, some other guys. But yeah, no, I disagree. I say the other team wins both. I just feel like the best players didn't go, and that if you just get Steph and LeBron and Russ and Kawhi, that team is just infinitely better. But,
so
I don't know.
I definitely disagree. Who's guarding DeMarcus Cousins and DeAndre Jordan? Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge. DeAndre Jordan had his way at the Olympics the way it was, and so did DeMarcus Cousins, except for maybe a game or two. I don't see any chance. The Olympic team's taller, they're longer, way more size, they're bigger. They've actually played together now. They have just as much shooting, and you'd have arguably the best player going against the second best player in KD and LeBron leading the teams. Give me that Olympic team.
All right, fair enough. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. It just kind of goes back to how dominant the United States is in basketball, even though we were all kind of starting to question and wonder. I mean, there was even that question, these guys are pretty good, but they're not quite the best, but they still went out and dominated. So, definitely that gap isn't closing.
Yeah. No, definitely not. And I wanted to talk about, I think it's hilarious that now people are talking about, oh, should they send college kids over there? So you're meaning to tell me just, what, a week and a half ago, you thought that they were just completely trash and that they were going to lose in the Olympics, they weren't going to win a gold, they weren't the best, the gap's closing, but now they're too good and you can only send college players over? I don't know. You got to make up your mind here. You can't just be flip-flopping, just going off of results.
Right, yeah. So, because that's what's going to happen. Because it wasn't that the whole reason for the Dream Team in the first place is they were sending over college – they were tired of sending over college kids and losing. So they were like, we need to start dominating basketball again. And so they started sending pros over.
I think they won silver in 92. And
no, 92 was the Dream Team year.
Yeah, 88. But I don't think it was college kids. I think the Dream Team was 92 and 96 with some of those players left over. And then 2000 was Athens, I believe, when they won just the bronze, or that was 04. I think it was 2000. I think it was Melo got 3 golds in a row.
I don't know. It just all kind of goes back to the ego of the United States. And, I mean, you know, the same thing with, like, the medal count and dominating the medal count by 50 medals or whatever it was. I mean, like, if that's what it's going to be about, if it's just going to be go and show off to the world how amazing American athletes are, then just, yeah, you might as well go big and do it, especially in a sport like basketball. We invented it. We might as well be great at it.
But I mean, you know, if they did decide to do the college thing, the first year they lose, everyone's going to throw a huge fit about it and not want that anymore. It's back and forth.
Yeah, they never should have done this.
It's a seesaw thing. They're damned if they do, damned if they don't. So I think they should keep it the way it is and just keep dominating.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's the other thing. If the players like it, they're getting exposure around the world, and, you know, there's no, as long as they're cool with it, what's the harm?
Yeah, and I also think DeAndre Jordan said one of the throughout the whole Olympics was, he said, it gives me a chance to kind of get away from the shadows of my teammates and do my own thing. And I think probably a lot of guys feel like that. I think maybe Clay felt like that, even though he's with kind of two teammates now, but he really hasn't played with one of them yet. So, but he kind of got to get out of shadow, do his own thing. His name was out there. No one was talking about Steph Curry. I think it's good for these guys. And also with Kevin Durant, for guys that are coming off free agency, he was able to block out all this noise, and a lot of people didn't talk about his move to Warriors after the Olympics started, and I think maybe it was an easier transition for him, and just kind of things like that. I think these guys are just gonna look for reasons to go.
Yeah, no, obviously it's a unique situation with Kevin Durant, but it just happened to work out perfectly. Not only did he get out of the country for a while and just get away, but he got to spend time with two of his new teammates. So, I mean, and kind of get used to playing with them. So it's valuable time spent as far as they're all concerned.
Yeah, and who do you think Harrison Barnes hung out with all those 2 weeks?
Yeah, poor guy.
I mean, that had to be awkward.
You're right, because it is. It's like, I don't know, it's like going on a date with your ex and their new significant other.
Yeah, it's...
But for 2 weeks.
I was thinking it's like going to dinner with your parents after you moved out and they have another child, and that's all I care about now. And
like they just had a new one after you were gone and
yeah,
started
after you're
over.
Gone and now you're just kind of swept under the rug type thing. It had to be an awkward time. I would think the guys would try to make it as easy as possible, but.
Right, I mean, I don't know, obviously it's, you know, it's the kind of the
they
business
all know
mentality
it's a business.
And the, right, and the, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, obviously, he had never changed teams before, and he probably would have loved to stay if Kevin Durant had not come, but, you know, yeah, you got to understand that, yeah, Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant, and he's Harrison Barnes.
I mean, 92 million dollars.
No, there's nothing wrong with being Harrison Barnes. There really isn't. Not right now.
No.
It's just
no, there's not.
You don't play on the new super team. You play in Houston now.
No, Dallas. He plays in Dallas.
Oh, Dallas, right. Dallas. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, so. But yeah, I guess that wraps up our Olympic picks. We had two more picks here. We'll talk about those. I know want to talk a little bit about these two picks as well. UFC 202. Can't believe we are already two pay-per-views past UFC 200, but we are. And this one was Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor 2 today. We first kicked it off with the co-main event. Didn't really last very long. It was a light heavyweight match. Anthony Johnson. He's 21-5. Took on Glover Teixeira. He's 25-4. We both picked Rumble, and Rumble did what he did.
He delivered.
He delivered an uppercut that sent Glover Teixeira to the canvas 12 seconds into the fight, and never seen Glover finish like that. And Glover was very confident in going into this fight, thought he had all the tools to beat Johnson. He was actually the one who called out Anthony Johnson for this fight. And all I can say is wish for, because Anthony Johnson might be the scariest dude on the planet.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely scary power coming from those hands. Funny thing about it, of course, was I kind of predicted the outcome of the fight earlier in the night playing some UFC. tried to reenact it. I definitely got knocked out by Anthony Johnson.
Yeah, and
but I did last longer than 13 seconds, so I am proud of myself for that.
Yeah, you did. You lasted longer than the real Glover Teixeira, so That just kind of goes to show that Anthony Johnson puts up better than video game numbers. He's better than his video game self. He's kind of like Steph Curry.
Which is, of course, scary good.
Yes, very good. He's definitely not a guy that you want to mess with, and definitely not a guy that you should be calling out in the light heavyweight division. I think that he's going to have the next title shot here against Daniel Cormier in a rematch.
Yeah.
And I think things could be a little different going into this fight because he is very powerful, and all it takes is one. Like we've seen, he's now second in UFC history in knockouts with 11. And this is a guy who used to fight at 170 pounds. So it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Right, and like you're saying, I'd really like to see that next fight be Cormier. I mean, obviously, want to see John Jones fight, but I it'd be kind of ridiculous to just give him that title shot after this suspension. So.
He's never suspended.
Or whatever it was. Exactly.
That's getting pretty muddled right now because apparently he didn't do anything.
Oh, because that's right, because it might be a tainted sample or whatever.
No, actually that would be in line for a failed drug test. No, apparently the drug that he took isn't on the banned list, not the drug they thought he took. Apparently he was taking, people seem to think that he was taking pills to make his to make his dick bigger. They thought that one of the ingredients in this pill gave him a red flag. It appears like it might not have. He might still get in a little trouble because you are supposed to tell USADA everything you put in your system, and he didn't tell him about this. So he could be suspended for maybe a couple months or so. But it looks like he's going to be fine to fight. Dana seems very confident, and he said he's not mad at Jones anymore, and Jones owed a lot of apologies, but still upset that he didn't fully interact or cooperate with USADA and the Nevada State Athletic Commission. So getting kind of weird.
Yeah, so I guess, do you think maybe Gustafsson would be a possibility there?
Possibly. Gustafsson hasn't fought in a while. His last fight, I believe, was his first-round knockout to Rumble. I don't know if I'd really want to see that. But you really don't have too many other options right now.
Right,
by heavyweight division.
I mean, if anything else, people might think, oh, you know, hey, yeah, might as well see if this fight has any interest in it. I mean, one more time.
Yeah, and I believe Cormier did get hurt in the Silva fight, and I know there's been rumors that maybe Dana sets up Rumble versus John Jones for to see who gets the title shot next. So that would be fun too.
Right. Yeah, a lot of possibilities, but I guess we should probably talk about McGregor-Diaz a little bit, seeing as how it was kind of an epic battle.
Yes, early candidate, or I guess not early, but kind of good candidate here to put in for fight of the year. Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz. We both had Diaz winning this fight. The rubber match will likely come because Conor McGregor won via majority decision. Got the majority decision because two judges gave him the fight 48-47. Another judge had it as a draw 47-47. Personally, I've only watched the fight once. I usually like to go back and watch fights a couple times before I actually am set with who I thought won. But while I watched the fight, I had Diaz up 3-2. I knew it was very close. The decision didn't shock me. I thought maybe if it was close, they would give it to McGregor. McGregor did have the knockdowns. But I think we learned a lot from both fighters in this fight. And I think it's gonna go a long way towards the rest of their careers here. And I guess I'll kind of talk about that here in a second if you have anything to say about the fight.
No, yeah, I mean, just from what I can tell, just looked like a battle on both sides. neither guys are giving up much. A lot of close calls, could be finishes, but just overall really exciting. too close for me to call either way.
Most definitely. I think what we learned, the biggest things we learned in this fight was. Well, we already knew this. Nate Diaz is one of the toughest guys in the UFC. Was able to take a barrage of punches from McGregor early. Knocked him down a couple times. I think the second round knockdowns were helped a little bit by the vicious leg kicks that McGregor was throwing. I think that didn't help him give a leg to stand on. Also, in the early rounds, McGregor's punches are much crisper and heavier than they are in the later rounds. I think we learned that Diaz should probably get surgery on his scar tissue, because I know a lot of people are pointing to what his face looked like to win a fight. And if you've ever watched MMA, you can't determine who won a fight by what they look like. Sometimes you can, but most of the time I would advise you not to, because Nate Diaz has been in some tough battles for years, and probably definitely more tough battles than Conor McGregor has ever been in. And Diaz has a lot of scar tissue that has formed around his eyes, and you could probably touch his eyes and he would start bleeding. So I don't think that should have played any factor. Also, damage isn't really a judging criteria like it was in Pride, so there's that as well. But I think that what we learned from McGregor is McGregor doesn't have a gas tank. He really wore down after the second round. Mid-second round, he was done. He wasn't going to knock Diaz out after that. His punches were not as crisp, not as not as heavy as they were in the beginning of the fight. He didn't move as well. His head didn't move as well. Diaz really got to open up there for a while. I actually think Diaz wore himself out a little bit at the end of the third round, because he hit Conor with about 30 to 35 punches in a row, and Conor just stood there and took them. But it didn't help Diaz any. And I think McGregor needs some work on his cardio, but I don't know how much he can do. I think it's just his style and the way he fights doesn't really allow him to be able to go for a very, very long time, because he is so athletic and he's able to get his punches and his kicks off so quick and so powerful.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to attribute McGregor having to come up and wait a little bit, maybe that, and the fact that, yeah, Diaz is just kind of just built bigger. But you do got to give him credit that, yeah, for sticking out and not going out like he did in the first fight. Definitely fought all the way. As for Diaz, yeah, he's bleeding all over the place. Probably couldn't see for anything. but definitely a lot of fun, and yeah, can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, definitely not. Diaz, you could tell by the third round, he kept wiping away the blood from his eyes. Had to be very hard for him to see. And McGregor showed a lot of heart, a heart that I didn't think he had after the first fight. I do think if Diaz would have been able to get him down, McGregor showed excellent takedown defense, but I think if Diaz would have been able to get him down, it would have been a different story, but he wasn't, and McGregor was able to do what he wanted to do, and that was win this battle, and yeah, I guess if you want, I don't know, I feel like if any negative is said towards Conor in these fights, it's because he's a smaller guy. You know what? If you don't want to hear the negatives, don't go up and fight, guys, because that's basically what he said after the first one. He said he only beat me because he's bigger than me. And really, he's not that much bigger than him. 10 to 15 pounds, maybe. They both should fight at 155. That should be both of their weight classes. Sure, Diaz is 3 inches, 4 inches taller than him, but height doesn't really matter. GSP wasn't the tallest guy and dominated 170, so I don't know. You can definitely tell McGregor.
Point.
McGregor's not a welterweight by no means. Some of those other guys in that division would eat him alive, but just based solely on their size. I hope if we do get this rubber match, I hope we get it at 155.
Yeah, no, it'd definitely be the way to go. All right, anything else you got?
No, I think that was it. We didn't do our upsets last week. We kind of forgot about them. We had a shortened show, so I left those off.
Yeah.
I went 3-1.
Even though
you were 2-2.
Totally got mine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't even pick one, so. I went 3-1, you were 2-2. You're at 36 wins, I'm at 32 right now. You have a 4.5 game lead because we're still waiting on your upset pick from a month ago, which they actually play tomorrow night, so.
Oh, is it tomorrow? I should have played by now. I forgot to check.
Yeah, it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, or I guess tomorrow day. I don't know, one or the other.
All right. Okay, well, cool. We got a bunch of games to pick tomorrow night. So I guess before we get into picks, I guess we have a little bit more time. Is there any football stuff, like NFL stuff, you wanted to go over? Because we don't need to talk about Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, no, we don't. The Eagles got Doriel Green Beckham. So
yeah,
stat per yard.
And if the Eagles would have drafted Russell Wilson, then Andy Reid would still be head coach and Todd Peterson would be offensive coordinator.
Todd Peterson?
Whatever. Doug Peterson. did you see that though?
I did not.
No, yeah. That's what Doug Peterson, apparently he said that.
Oh my god.
Like, okay, yeah, and oh well. But no, yeah. So do you like Doriel Green Beckham? Obviously there's the concerns everybody's talking about. He couldn't pick up the playbook. He obviously has trouble picking up playbooks, kinda had a history of that. Do you think they can at the very least use him as a red zone threat that can score touchdowns?
Well, I mean, the Titans were still able to use him as that, even with all his playbook struggles last year. So I think they can. If that's true, it kind of scares me because a lot of people say Doug Peterson's playbook is much more complicated than what the Titans are running.
If it's anything like Andy Reid's, then yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. But I think I like him. Got size. He's got all the ability. He's fast. He can catch, which the Eagles really need. They have some receivers that have some drop problems, so we'll definitely need him to be able to catch some balls. And I think if they're able to do it, I think he could become their number one. And you place hopefully Nelson Aguilar works out. You place him over at two. And you're able to move Jordan Matthews into the slot where he just tore apart corners his rookie season at that position. On the outside, he was still good, but he wasn't making the plays he was when he was playing the slot. So I think if they're able to do that here in the future for Carson Wentz, I definitely think they're giving him some weapons. Maybe need a little work on the offensive line, of course, Lane Johnson, whatever happens there, and Jason Peters isn't getting any younger. They have one of the best centers, but they'll have to start working on that offensive line. But I think they're on their way to rebuilding a pretty good offense behind Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no, obviously, if you can get any of the potential that Doriel Green Beckham has, and you can, yeah, put him on one sideline, then yeah, he opens up a lot of things to your offense, which does kind of confuse me as to why the Titans would just give up so easily. I mean, obviously they're trying to, they're focusing on this running game thing. You bring in DeMarco Murray, you're trying to re-bolster your offensive line to support your quarterback, but don't you think a big, giant receiving threat would be also what your quarterback needs, especially when you're working on this great running game that it's going to make it that much easier on your passing game, you would think. But no, I mean, I don't know. Whatever. The Titans did it. he's in Philadelphia now. Hopefully they can figure it out because, yeah, I mean – he's had his problems in the past, but yeah, you still root for the kid and you want him to succeed if he's, you know, dedicated to it.
Yeah, most definitely. I agree. I don't dislike the move. I don't think you can dislike the move if you're an Eagles fan, whether he works out or not. They didn't give up a lot. And yeah, he can hopefully figure things out. And we didn't hear his name all last year for any bad reasons. And as long as he keeps that up and is able to learn this playbook a little bit, I think he'll be just fine. And the Eagles got a steal here. I think the Titans may have got rid of him because, like you're saying, the running game would be really focused on that with Thunder. Just dumb. But I guess Marcus Mariota is your Lightning. I don't know. But I think they have a lot of confidence in Justin Hunter, who's a big-bodied receiver. He's had some injury problems, but I think maybe they're gonna hope he finally pans out a little bit and is able to stay healthy.
Yeah, I don't know though. 6'6", he can jump.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Catch. All right. Anyway, we're starting to run out of time, so we should probably do these picks.
Let's do it. No Joey Bosa today.
Right. I kind of wanted to talk about that because it's just getting ridiculous. But anyway,
I'm sure we'll have time next week. I'm sure this will still be ongoing.
All right. So tomorrow in our slate of games, starting off, we've got Indians and Rangers, Corey Kluber and Martin Perez going at it. Who you got there?
I'm going to have to take the Rangers here. I like the pitching better here in the matchup with the Indians. I just – that Rangers offense, it's pretty scary.
Yeah, I'm also going to have to go to the Rangers for semi-unrelated reasons that I'm trying not to talk about until it gets closer. So, all right, moving on. College football officially starts tomorrow, so that's exciting. Hawaii and Cal are playing. What do you mean? Is it like at midnight or something?
Weren't there a couple games tonight, or were they tomorrow? I don't know.
I just looked on ESPN. This was the first game that came up. Hawaii Cal, the date being tomorrow. I don't know. It is in Australia. So I don't know what time they're playing.
You're right.
But, yeah, so I guess who you got? Hawaii, Cal.
Oh, I got to take Cal. Didn't Hawaii win one game last year?
I think it was three games, but, yeah, I'm also going to go Cal.
Even better.
All right, and then next we got some fights.
Yeah, we have UFC on Fox. Damian Maia versus Carlos Condit. Main card's going to be starting at 9 o'clock, and we'll start off with the co-main event, featherweight Anthony Pettis. His first time moving down to featherweight since he's had three straight losses at lightweight. One of those losses was him losing his lightweight championship to Rafael Dos Anjos. Lost two decisions since then. He's 18-5. Actually, all five of those losses have been decision losses, so he's hoping – maybe this move down will give him a little more power and the ability to stop the takedown. So he'll need it in this one, taking on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt Charles Oliveira. I'm going to go Pettis here.
I'm also going to go Pettis.
All right. Hopefully Showtime can do it. Been a fan of his for a long time, so I really like to see him get back on track. But then we have the main event, of course, Carlos Condit and Damian Maia. Both guys have been UFC veterans for a long time now, and I think it's Damian Maia's time. I think he pulls this one off.
I'm going to disagree there. Going to go Condit.
Yeah, it's not a bad choice at all. Condit fought for the title not too long ago, so yeah. Good call.
All right.
Got enough subject?
Rams over Broncos.
All right. Going NFL preseason for
our
upset picks.
They are. It is the third game, so There will be starters in there if you can call Trevor Siemian a starter.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm going Niners over Packers.